Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson went on a camping trip. As they lay down for the night, Holmes said, "Watson, look up into the sky and tell me what you see." Watson looked up and said, "I see millions and millions of stars." Holmes asked, "And what does that tell you?" Watson thoughtfully answered, "Astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Theologically, it tells me that God is great and that we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, it tells me that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow." "What does it tell you, Holmes?" Holmes deduced, "Someone stole our tent." Ah, yes. Looking at the same set of facts and coming to completely different interpretations and conclusions. Dr. Watson seems to have completely missed the irony that he could actually see the night sky when, in fact, they should have had the shelter of a tent over their heads. However, we shouldn't fault Dr. Watson, for he is but a representative of the vast mass of humanity that sees without seeing, thinks without thinking, and understands without understanding. The most glaring current example is of the supposed barbarity of the Israeli Defense Forces when they bombed a major hospital in the Gaza Strip. This myth is a prime example of the gaslighting of the entire world that's been going full blast for the last several years, with outbursts every now and then for the past century. But this kind of deception has been rampant on the earth since Satan first tempted Eve with a series of deceptive lies in the Garden of Eden. Now that's a long, long time. Our current example pervading all news programs stems from a network of interconnected lies, some of which are literally multi-millennia old. Fact: a hospital was blown up, resulting in hundreds of dead and wounded. And that's about all in the stories that is true. Hamas, a terrorist horde, proxy of Iran, whose prime directive is the extermination of all Jews and the elimination of Israel as a nation state, claimed as soon as the blast occurred that Israel had perversely, blatantly, and barbarously attacked the hospital in clear violation of all international norms and human dignity. The so-called mainstream international media jumped on that version of events, even though none of it was true. Turns out one of Hamas's own rockets misfired and blew up the hospital, which was simultaneously a clandestine military facility. Shot themselves in the foot, eh? Sounds like God had something to do with it. Well, that truth has barely gotten out, and only through alternative media. Don't expect the mainstream media to correct its mistakes, because the preferred so-called correct narrative these days is that Israel is a warmongering state bent on punishing, segregating, and oppressing all Palestinians. As with nearly everything being spouted at us from corporate media sources, it's all a bunch of lies, with a hint of truth mixed in here and there, all to make it seem plausible. A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, or rather the poison of lies go down. As I mentioned last week, the entire notion that there is an ethnic group called Palestinians is a lie. But the lie, repeated so often enough that it's taken on the semblance of fact, that most people actually think it's true. One otherwise well-meaning young man on the social media feed Gab was troubled enough by all the ruckus of so many elite university student groups decrying Israel's horrid apartheid and persecution of the poor, pitiful Palestinians versus all the other people who are supporting Israel and calling for additional aid to support their war effort, that he actually tried to do some research. He wondered why there are people like myself who say there is no such ethnic group known as Palestinians. So he went on the internet. He found images of ancient Roman Empire maps that labeled the Holy Land as Syria Palestina. With that fact in hand, he concluded that there really are Palestinians, and they have a historic right to the land now illegally occupied by Israel. His fatal mistake? This man forgot to ask the all-important question, why? Well, the land from nearly the beginning of this eon of planet Earth's history has been known as Canaan. No, not Palestine. But when the Israelites, then known as the Hebrews, escaped from slavery in the Egyptian Empire through the leadership of Moses, and then actually conquered the land under Joshua, the lands were called according to the Israelite tribes that inhabited the various regions. While the tribes were collectively known as Israel, when the tribes were united under a king, first Saul, then David, followed by Solomon, the kingdom was appropriately named Israel. But when the 10 northern tribes split off from the 2 southern tribes after the death of Solomon, the northern tribes continued using the name Israel, while the 2 south tribes, the largest of which by far was Judah, took on the name Judah. Centuries passed. When the northern tribes were taken captive by the Assyrians, Israel was no more, while Judah remained for another nearly 200 years. Even after the southern kingdom was conquered by Babylon, poorer Jews remained in the land, and the name of Judah continued undisputed. After powerful Jews were permitted to return to the land while under the Persian Empire, the land was still known as Judah. Even after the Persians lost control of the Holy Land to the Greeks under Alexander the Great, it was still mostly commonly known as Judah. However, the Jews revolted against the Romans some 30 years after Lord Jesus returned to heaven. The Jews were defeated, and literally millions of them were massacred, many crucified, the temple destroyed. At this point, the Romans were determined to eradicate the world of all memory of the Jews because they were such a troublesome, expensive people. So the Roman government renamed the whole area Syria Palestina, taking the name Palestina from the area roughly analogous to today's Gaza Strip, ironically, that had once been inhabited by the Philistines. The Philistines were a seafaring people that had immigrated and settled the southern coastal area of the Holy Land. For a time, they were a near constant thorn in Israel's side. Recall that young David fought and killed the Philistine giant Goliath. Philistia, along with Israel and later Judah, was conquered successively by Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, Byzantium, the Ottoman Turks, and lastly, the British. Under the Assyrians and Babylonians, the Philistines ceased to be a recognizable people group. Exile and intermarriage with other peoples led to their complete disappearance. There have been no Philistines for thousands and thousands of years. Then suddenly, in the 1930s, they were reintroduced to the world by a coalition of Arab states as a political ploy to stake a claim to the Holy Land to prevent the establishment of a Jewish state. It failed. In 1948, the land once again became Israel. Unlike the extinct Philistines, now just Arabs, erroneously termed Palestinians, the Jews never ceased to exist. Despite thousands of years of exile, there always remained a remnant in the land for God, because of God. God doesn't forget his covenants. He doesn't forget the prophecies Holy Spirit gave over and over again to prophet after prophet. Every last word of God has and will come true in spades. As good as one's word applies no more perfectly than it does to Father God. He is the very personification of truth itself. He is absolutely trustworthy, always, forever, no exceptions, ever. In our nation's capital, a tragic comedy is being staged. So like most of the kings of Israel and Judah, particularly Amaziah of Judah, arrogantly and stupidly challenging Israel's king Joash to battle with the intention of gaining some territory and bragging rights at Israel's expense, Amaziah instead was soundly defeated by Israel's superior troops. The temple and palace treasures were looted. What a loss. Not quite what he had bargained for. Though he managed to remain on the throne for another 15 years, assassins finally caught up with him and murdered him. While physical violence to the point of death has not yet been visited upon any in Congress, the farce currently going on in the House of Representatives to select a new speaker is actually a reflection of just the same petty pride, greed, and power-seeking that was seen in the kings of Israel and Judah. But the fact is, if the holdouts would set aside their personal agendas and ambitions just for a few minutes even, a new speaker could be elected, and this nation's two legislative bodies could stop being world laughingstocks for a change. The fake, fraudulent, corrupt beyond conceiving executive branch is providing the world with more than enough shame, gas, lies, face plants, and side-splitting humor for many centuries worth of presidents. Yet all the ills of the federal government could be remedied in minutes if only all the folks there would ask for God's leading, and then follow it. This is even more true of our personal ills. Be sure you spend time with Father daily, and then follow him. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for who you are, and for who you have made us to be. We have truly lost sight both of who you are and who we are, particularly represented in Washington, D.C., but all around the world. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves, to see you who you are and who we are, and to follow your lead. For Jesus' sake and in his name we pray. Amen.